Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
How's everyone doing? We good? Everyone is chatty today. My goodness. Hey, well, welcome to City View Church, everyone, as you are finding your seats. First and foremost, want to tell you, welcome home. Would you high-five your neighbor right next to him? Tell him, welcome home. Hey, so I don't know about you, but I love that rain on Tuesday, Austin. Am I right? My goodness. But I'll tell you, by 8 a.m., I stepped in the most giant puddle, right? And it just soaked my shoes and my socks. So we're making the squishy noise. It was gross, man. So I was like, man, I like Phoenix, not so much Seattle. I was starting to see the realities of living in Washington. So for those of you who don't know, welcome to City View Church. If you got forced into this place, someone said, hey, I'm going to take you to a movie, made you take a hard left. I'm sorry. They lied to you. That's wrong. But before I always speak, I just want to mention two important things is I think first and foremost, you don't have to believe in order to belong here. And I think that's something I always want to make clear that, you know, but whatever you believe, I'm just excited you're here. We're excited as, we are just a community on a faith journey following Jesus. And so what you'll find is you'll find people that are been on the journey for a long time. You'll find people that have just crossed the line of faith. Can we please give it up for everyone that's got baptized this past year? Oh my gosh, I love this place. Oh, we could do this forever. And then last but not least, we got people here that don't believe what we believe, and that's totally okay. They're just trying to figure out kind of who God is, who Jesus is, wrestling with that. And if you're in that space, I just want to let you know, I know you're out there. I love you so much. And if I learn anything from my background is that, you know, you can't force faith on people. You can't force belief on people. So I'm excited you're here. Can we give it up for everybody new today? Awesome. Hey, so we are starting a new series. Jeremiah, our lead pastor, if this is your first time, he's out today. But we're tag teaming a new series called I'm Exhausted. Can we get a big sigh? Everyone's feeling the same way. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to share a story, and then I'm going to kind of do a little foundation work, and then we'll get into the main parable of this story, which is going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It's going to be a parable that Jesus speaks about, otherwise known as the Good Samaritan story, right? So what I like to do is I'm going to make this important point, and I think this is so key that everyone understands this, and this is my title for today, is that what the law could not do, Jesus did. And more to follow on this. So let's pray with me, and then we'll jump in. Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you. As we just were clapping, thank you that we just, there's so much life change happened here. Lord, I thank you just for this being a healthy place. Lord, I ask that you just continue to keep us healthy, healthy leadership. Just health begets health, Lord. And I just wanted to see us continue to grow, to continue to love people well. Lord, I'm thankful for Park Meadows. I thank you so much that we have the opportunity to serve that school. As Eden mentioned, I thank you for all the teachers and all the hard work they do. And God, I just ask that you'd speak through me this morning, help me to get out of your way. And then before we get going, Lord, I just ask that you would bless all the churches around the valley. We got places like Gateway and Hillsong. We got Calvary Community Church. We have Refuge. We have Illuminate. We have so many churches and Impact. And I could keep going, Lord. I'm so thankful for them. And we just ask, Lord, as our community here at City View, we ask that you would bless those churches. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hey, so quick story. I picked up a basketball in sixth grade, and I absolutely fell in love, right? Gosh, thank God for basketball. Who's my ballers at in the house? Hey, so come seventh grade, shooting hoops at the Boys and Girls Club by myself, playing pickup games. Eighth grade comes around, I'm like, all right, or seventh grade. Seventh grade comes around, I'm like, now it's time to take my talents to an organized league. The Boys and Girls Club, right? And so I remember this one game. I am shooting at, I'm at my own home court, my own dojo, if you will. And I am about to enter this game, and we have a guy on the other team. He is shooting free throws, right? So he gets two shots, and I think he makes the first one. I'm on the bench. Coach is like, all right, Jared, go in. And so I remember as I was walking up, I'm like, yo, first and foremost, I'm about to get this rebound. This dude's going to miss, and I'm about to score on all y'all, right? So I get in my position. Dude shoots. No lie. It bounces off the rim. I grab it, and then I go to shoot it, and I had a sudden realization. I was shooting on my own. I was shooting at the wrong basket. And so midway, I kind of like, I had the thought and I kind of like flailed. So I chucked it at the bottom of the rim, got my rebound back. Imagine all the parents are like, what is this kid doing? You know, and I get the ball back. I pass it to my point guard. Then we start going the right way. And I was busting up laughing. If you know me, I laugh all the time. And my bench was laughing. They're just cracking up. The other team, they're just losing their minds. And I realized that it wasn't up until about 8 years ago that I have been missing the basket, shooting at the wrong hoop my entire life when it comes to my faith. And so what I like to share is, you know, in many companies' headquarters, you will walk into their office, and something you'll always see at really great companies is you'll see kind of their big vision statement. It'll be kind of on the walls, like, this is the why behind the product. This is why it's not so much the product, it's the story behind what's going on here. Yet when I grew up, I felt like every time I walked into the rooms as I was growing up, it seemed to be what was on the walls was rules. And so I would see rules, and specifically those for you that have been grown up in church, it was always the Ten Commandments. And I'd like to talk about the Ten Commandments today. We refer to it as the law. So when I speak about the law today, I'm referring about these Ten Commandments. You may have heard of them. And so over time, it wasn't necessarily taught, but it was certainly caught that this whole thing, why we gather at church, it must be about rules. Clearly, because they're all over the walls, this is the most important thing. How good can I do these? How could I avoid so many things? And what I learned is I believe two lies at the same exact time, and they're a complete paradox. On one hand, I believe that God does not love me where I am now, or he doesn't love me who I am now, but I believe he'll love a future version of me, a better future version of me. So I need to do more, try harder, work harder, do this, X, Y, and Z. On the same token, there were days I was really good at following rules, right? And so I would follow these rules, and at some point on days I go, I don't really need God, because I got this on lock. But it's interesting, both are lies. Both aren't true, but both are based on my performance. So everything with God was based on my performance. My performance was the point. And I think there's so many people in here today where, man, maybe you never were taught what is the actual point of the whole thing. And I think when we start talking about the rules or the law of God, it gets people confused. And so what I found is everything was based on my performance. So I would be in this kind of circle, and I would try to do more and try harder. I'd see the commands. I kept trying to do more, try harder. And then when I'd fail, I beat myself up because it's about my performance, right? And so I was caught in this merry-go-round. But I'm telling you, what if you never had to be in the merry-go-round in the first place? What if that actually is not the point? What if the rules, like the Ten Commandments, is not the actual point, the story of the Bible? And so what I'd like to share today is I want to tease out the importance of what is the law. Now, I know that sounds like, oh gosh, this is going to be the most boring sermon ever. But I'm telling you, it's amazing once you actually understand. And I am so hyped that I get to teach this because I grew up in church my whole life and I never knew. And so if you would, we're going to be in Luke 10:25, as I said, but let me tease out something in Matthew chapter 5. So Jesus is sitting with these people, right? And he says this. He says in Matthew 5, verse 18, he says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. And so Jesus goes, all right, let me set the record straight. I'm not here to abolish the law. I'm here to fulfill it. These Ten Commandments, they still stand. He's like, don't forget about that. But he's like, but also it has a purpose. And so he goes on into the next verse, and in Matthew 5:20 says this, "But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you just read that with me, you go, this is how I used to read it. I'd be like, wait, I have to do better than they? So everything was about, oh my gosh, I have to read the Bible more, I have to study more, I have to pray more. And that's really exhausting, am I right? And so what Jesus, I found out, was saying, he's talking about these Pharisees, right? Now, Pharisees are interesting. Now, they memorized this portion of the book of the Bible called the Torah. Now, let me explain. The Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, you know there's some people in here, you started your one-year Bible reading plan, right? You got to Leviticus and you're like, I'm done. I've seen it so many times. People are like, hey, I'm starting my one-year plan. They get to Leviticus, they're like, I actually quit. And you're like, oh, great. So, because they just don't understand what it's about, what the message is behind what he's writing. And so what I come to say is they memorize the Torah. That's crazy. They memorize every single word. They are the absolute experts. They are varsity, whereas everyone in here, including myself, we're not on the team, right? And so they are just crushing it. So Jesus says this. He goes, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. But what he's not trying to do, he's not trying to be the God at the top of the stairs and telling you to come up. That's not who our God is. Jesus is the God who comes down the stairs and meets you where you are. But check this out. It gets worse. I'm sorry. It does get worse. He says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. Now he's talking about the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments was, do not murder. And so he says this. He says, but I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. I remember reading that like, I get mad on the freeway every day. So I'm getting judged every day. Like, there's no shot for me. And then it gets worse. Yeah, I know, it gets worse. He says, but you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery, but I say, anyone that even looks at a woman or a man with lust has already committed adultery with them in their heart. And so right off the bat, as we just talk about those two, those are just two of the laws. The law just flattens all of us. Can we be real? There's no one that should, like, the law, the point of it isn't to you to be so good and going, wow, I got this on control, man. I'm never getting angry. Lust is never in my heart. Life is good. Look at me. No, Jesus is saying this, and it'll be this quote on the board. The law does not make me good. It does not make us good. It exposes our sin. That's the purpose Jesus is talking about. He's saying, listen, the law isn't, it's not you trying to come up. It's saying, listen, we have all fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so when you start looking at that like that, I'm telling you, it frees me up because I go, you know what? I can't do this on my own. But you have two ways to look at it. You can either look at it that way or you can look at it as, wow, I need to do X, Y, and Z so God is happy with me. But let's be honest, that's exhausting because it's based on your performance. And our performance is never enough. But here's the thing. This is amazing. So the law doesn't make us good. It doesn't make us good. It exposes our sin. And the best way I like to describe it is a mirror. Now, what the mirror can do is the mirror will show the dirt on your face. But if you were to go, hey, mirror, can you wash the dirt off my face? What's the mirror going to say? Nothing. It's a mirror. So it's all the law is in what he's describing. It's just showing you where you're at. It's just a mirror, but it can't wash your face. Now, I wonder how many times has someone given you law and you're like, that didn't do anything for me. And so here's an example. So like 8 years ago, I'm running this Bible study, right? It's like I'm teaching on Colossians 3. There's two paragraphs. The first paragraph is all about the actual point of the story of the Bible, right? It's amazing. This, if you have been raised with Christ, set your eyes on the things above. I scrapped that. I went right down to the bottom. I said, but if you, it says, now put to death sexual immorality, and it starts listing all these things, right? And I look at all the guys, I go, so how are we doing on that? And everyone's like, horrible. And then I remember sitting back going, yeah, me too. And then we just left it at that. Just like, well, I guess that's it. Like, I guess do more, try harder, right? Because that's how we read the scriptures. But here, let me show you actually in this parable called the Good Samaritan that it's going to play itself out in this very story. So this is incredible. So before I get there, remember, the law serves as a constant reminder of grace. Just like in the Bible study, the law showed us, wow, we're all not doing good. So it's not, wow, I need to start doing this. No, it's holy crap, I need grace. So let's watch it play out in this story. So one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Yeah, tell me what to do. Yeah, I got this. Just tell me what to do. What's the formula? Do I read? Just give me the check mark boxes. I don't need God. I just tell me what to do. And Jesus, I love, he essentially, the man asks a very law-based question. So Jesus gives him a law answer. He goes, oh, you got it on lock? He goes, Jesus replied, so what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? Man answered, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus goes, right, yeah, absolutely. Do this, and you'll live. Do it all, do it perfectly, and you'll live. You don't need me. And I just think it's funny, when we look at just the first command there, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, I look at that command, I'm telling you, there are days where I feel like I have given it all to God. But can I tell you that there's times where I set things down and my heart is so deceitful, it wants to pick up other things. I mean, I surrender to God in one moment, the next moment my heart's like reaching for something else, anything other than God. And so Jesus is going, yeah, like, do it all and you'll live. And the man goes, he wants to justify himself, it says. He wants to justify his actions, going, oh, absolutely, I'm loving the Lord my God with all my heart, absolutely. And I'm loving my neighbor as myself. And just to be clear, who is my neighbor? I just want to make sure I've got this thing, right? Because it's all based on my performance. I don't really need you, it's based on me. And so Jesus replies with a story. He says a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him, check this, half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over, looked at him lying there, but he also passed him by on the other side. And then this is the best part, it says, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. And so what I always heard this talk is the very end of this parable, Jesus says, he's going, this is how you love your neighbor. It's people that don't look like you. It's people that don't have the same money you have. He's saying all this, but here is something so important about this parable that most people do not see. What Jesus chooses is he chooses a half-dead person in this parable because it says, for the wages of sin is death. And so what the picture is actually painting is that you and I are the half-dead person in the story, that we actually have fallen short of the glory of God and we are on the side of the road in need of help. But then Jesus uses two experts in religious law. They know the front of it. They know the back of their hand. It's easy. And what they know especially is that when you pass, when it says in Leviticus, you cannot touch a dead person or you will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. And so what they missed is they just thought the rule was important. But God was actually telling them in the rule, hey, I don't want you touching a dead person because there could be disease there. And then you'll bring the disease into the camp. People will get sick and people will die. The point isn't to just follow the rule. It's for something so much deeper. But the law, they're not bad people. They just think the rule is the point. And so the law walks past the man because it has no power to save him. The law does not make you good. It exposes your sin. And so that just shows them, it just sees, hey, you're half dead. The wages of sin is death, and it walks past the man. And so what the law does, it walks past and it goes, sorry, I can't help you. But here's the best part of the story. It says, when the good Samaritan, which is the picture of Jesus, comes. You see, when the law walks by, grace follows it. The law walks by and says, oh, I'm sorry, I can't touch you. You're unclean. Grace walks by and goes, let me help you out. I'm gonna touch you and declare that you are clean. When the law walks by, it says, I'm sorry, this is where you are. But when Jesus walks by, he goes, I'm sorry, this is who I am, and I am enough for you. You see, the law shows you that you do not have the power to change on your own, but grace walks by and he says, I see you and I feel compassion for you. Jesus is grace that walks by. The law has no power to change you. It has no power to change you. But then Jesus walks by. He goes, I see you and I feel compassion for you. Did you know that Jesus actually, the God of the universe, sees you where you are? And then this is so amazing. It says this. It says, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with his olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Such a picture of Jesus that he comes to you and to me. He meets us right where we are and he starts soothing our bandages. And this is one of my favorite parts. He says, then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn. What a symbol of his humility that Jesus walks in the dust while we are elevated on the donkey. Jesus goes to the cross while we get to go free. You see, the whole story of the Good Samaritan is that Jesus is the Good Samaritan, not us. It's Jesus is the one that, gosh, if he doesn't come, the law has flattened me and I need grace. Amen? And so this is incredible. He says he takes him to an inn. And what a symbol of a church today. This is one of my favorite quotes. City View Church, we are not a museum of saints. We are a hospital for the broken. And we are the imperfect people in this room. There's no perfect people at City View Church. And that's what we are. We are in the inn, and Jesus brought you here today. Oh, that's for somebody. Jesus brought you here today. He sees you. He feels compassion for you. He soothes your wounds, and then he brings you to an inn. And it says this, it says, the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins telling him, take care of this man or take care of this woman. If her bill runs higher than this, I'll pay. And church, your biggest challenge in your life, for those of you that call yourself a Christian, your biggest challenge in your life is not your spiritual disciplines. It's not how much you read the Bible, and it's not how much you pray. Your biggest challenge in this life is believing the gospel. It's believing that Jesus has paid it all for you. It's the belief that Jesus said, what he said on the cross, it is finished, is now over your life. That there is nothing left to pay back with your performance. He already bought it. He already took everything for you on that cross that day at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And so you don't, he doesn't need your performance. He's got this. And man, it is the biggest, I'll pay, he says, I'll pay. He'll pay for it. He already did. And this is so amazing. He says, now which one of these would you say is a neighbor to the man who's attacked by bandits? And Jesus asks, the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, yes, now go and do the same. You see, Jesus is the one who showed us mercy. You know, there should be no religious pride ever. Because the law flattens us, right? It doesn't make us good. It exposes our sin. But here's the beauty I want to share with you. It doesn't just end there. You see, it exposes your sin, but here's another amazing example. You see, at the hotel I work at, there is a restaurant on top of the hill called Different Point of View. And there are 2 crazy turns where you just can't see around the corner of incoming semis, product going up there. And so what we did is we put up a mirror, a convex mirror. And so what the convex mirror is, shows me what is around the corner. It shows me things to be aware of. And in the same way, the law still doesn't make you good, but it keeps you free. I didn't say it makes you free, it keeps you free. Remember, the law cannot make you good. It is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so when you put your faith in Jesus, he says, you are free. I believe it says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, Christ Jesus has made you right with God. He has made you pure and holy, and he's freed you from sins. And so what the reality is, when you put your faith in Jesus, you actually are free. And so when you look at the law, it's to help keep you free. Going back to what I said in Matthew 5, it says, hey, don't look lustfully among another man or woman, because he goes, listen, I don't want you to be in bondage of that garbage. When it says in Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, he goes, listen, I'm not trying to give you rules. That's not the point. I'm trying to keep you free, because if you hold on to bitterness, you're drinking poison expecting someone else to die. And so you start to wonder, you go, wait, now this makes sense, because David in the Psalms said, I meditate on the law day and night. And I used to think, man, you're weird. But then I started to realize, wait, God was always after me all the time. It was never about the rules, it was about him. In Romans 10:4 says, Christ Jesus is the end of the law, or is to say the aim of the law, meaning that the purpose of the rules or the law of Jesus is to point to him. And so many of us, we come to the mirror and we go, oh my gosh, I love this law and I'm so good at keeping it. And the mirror's like, I'm pointing to something greater. You see, the whole point of the story of the Bible is God's salvation meeting sinners. It's our rebellion meeting his righteousness. It's not God at the top of the stairs. It's Jesus coming down them and meeting us right where we are. And so many of you want to know, you say, Jared, well, if the law doesn't make me good, then what really changes me? And it's this amazing quote, and it always stick with me forever. And I forgot who said it. It says, holiness is the byproduct of worship. And what that means is, if you want to live, love, and look like Jesus, just look to him. He's the one, and it goes back to the Good Samaritan story. Man, he's the Good Samaritan. Man, I was dead in my trespasses, and he comes down, meets me where I am. I don't deserve that. Have you seen my thoughts, Jesus? Have you seen my past? He goes, I don't care about none of that. Let me see your bandages. I got you. I got this. Your sins are forgiven when you put your belief in me. And he finishes it, and he says, I'll pay. I got it all. It always resorts back to the gospel. It is not the ABCs. It's not you becoming a believer in Jesus and now you have to keep his, you got to keep his favor on your own terms, on your own performance. No, it's the A to Z. It is the whole thing, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that God came down to meet me where I am is the point. And all of a sudden, it's not about us anymore. It's about Jesus. And suddenly you feel a little less burdened. You start to get a pep in your step. You might shout during worship because you're like, oh my gosh, I was dead on the side of the road, but Jesus came to save me. And I'm telling you, I used to be the guy that was never emotional. God was always just logical. But then, man, the gospel started changing me. This good news started changing me. And I realized, how could I be exhausted when he's already paid for it? And I want to follow these laws. When you say, get rid of bitterness, you're right. I don't want that. I want to stay free. I don't want to walk into that anymore. I have been set free, and I am free indeed. So let me walk in that by the strength of God and his Spirit. Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense, because Jesus says, I've come to give life and life abundantly. He didn't say, I've come to give you rules so you can just follow rules. No, he came to give life, 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 life. So what is the point? What the law could not do, Jesus did. It doesn't make you good, it exposes your sin. But it doesn't make you good, it keeps you free. But it is the grace and love of a loving Father and Jesus that came to die for us that changes everything. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you, and I pray that, man, you would do only what you can do in everyone's hearts. I am so thankful that I am the man on the ground, half dead, in need of a Savior. Lord, I thank you so much, Jesus, that you've come and you've come specifically to meet me where I am and meet every person in this room where they are. I ask God that you would help us when a lot of us are just still focused on our behavior. Help show us where you're going. No. Just put your trust in me. I got you. I'll put you on the donkey. It is by my grace. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for today. We ask you just pray for some more rain in the future because that's been amazing, Lord. And I just pray everyone in here would have an amazing rest of the day. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.